Ladies and gentlemen, live from London, America's funniest professor, Carl Hurley.
Thank you so much. It is so good to be home. And I really mean that. In this job, I get to travel all over the United States and Canada. But coming back home this evening is fantastic. I got here early and got over on Main Street, right downtown London, Kentucky, my hometown, just to walk around a while and see some people and overheard some people talking about me. It made me feel good. Heard two fellas talking. One said, "You going out there tonight to hear Carl Hurley?" And the other said, "Oh, yeah." Said, "I'd rather hear him talk than eat." Dylan said, "I had two." Said, "I've heard him eat." I went on down the street a little bit, and I saw a fella over on the other side of the street, and I could tell he recognized me. You know, I was just kind of walking along. He ran up to me, and he said, "Does anybody ever tell you that you look like that fella that used to live here now that goes around making those funny speeches?" I said, "Well, yes, they do." He said, "Kind of makes you mad, don't it?" But it is good to be back. I was feeling a little bad earlier in the week, and I thought I might not be able to make it, and it kind of worried me, but I feel great tonight. It's good to be here. What I had was the insomnia. Well, I've been sleeping all right nights and the mornings, but it seemed like in the afternoons I just toss and turn. But do enjoy this business so much. Being back with you this evening, the good food we've had here. Since I've been in this business, I've learned to speak three languages. French, Russian, and Thousand Island. My wife told me, and I said, "Now just get up there and just be yourself, but don't overdo it." But it is so great to be back here in my hometown, London, Kentucky. Now, I grew up about 15 miles off the main road, down toward East Bernstadt Route 1. Of course, when I grew up, that's the only route we had. But it was a long one. Grew up in a little country church down there on the banks of the Rockcastle River. I was thinking about that today. I remember we had a fellow that would come around and preach about once a month. And on Sundays, when he couldn't be there, we would have anybody in that could preach. One Sunday, we had a fellow there. I don't know where he was from, but in order to make his point, he was trying to scare us a little bit. He said, "It won't be long until everybody in this community will be dead." And there's a fellow right out in the middle just laughed a little bit. He thought he hadn't understood. He said, "I said it won't be long until everybody in this community will be dead." That fellow laughed a little louder. He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I ain't from around here." Well, I am from around here. It is so good to be home. But I've noticed that some things are changing. It's not like it used to be. I mean, you know, everything changes. I went down to East Bernstadt earlier today and was walking down the street, and I heard three women talking about that. One of them said, "You know, times are not like they used to be, are they?" The other said, "I don't think they ever have been." The other one said, "It's getting more that way every day." Yeah, there's more going on. When I was here, when I grew up, we didn't rush anything. Life was slower. Everything's so fast now. My wife hadn't had a meal get done in 2 years. She came in the other day wanting to know, "How do you microwave a possum?" I said, you don't microwave a possum. Possum's got a simmer. The longer it takes, the better. Living too fast. More going on now. I heard about two old boys down there at East Burns Steps that wanted to see the ocean. They hitchhiked. They'd never seen it. They hitchhiked till they were standing on the sand, just looking over that water. They were just awestruck. They never spoke for a while. Finally, one of them said, man, look at all that water. The other one said, man, that's just the top of it. That's the way it is around here. Just so much more going on. But I grew up at a simpler time. I can remember my mother getting up about 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why she wanted to do that. Build a fire and a coal and wood stove. Get a big bowl out of the cabinet. Make biscuits from scratch. Great old big biscuits. Good ones. My wife can fix corn flakes that'll melt in your mouth. It's different. We didn't rush into things back then. I remember we never started the school till we were 8 or 9 years old. I don't know why we waited. We weren't doing anything else. 8 or 9 years old, you take up to school, and the first year you're in the primer. Next year you're in the first grade. By the time you graduate from high school, you almost had tenure. It was different back then. I remember one time playing football. I was going down that sideline. I had the ball just off the field. I heard a 12-year-old boy holler, "Get him, Daddy!" But if the people who predict the future are right, they say in the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to see things that we've never seen before. So there's going to be changes all throughout society. Technology is going to be playing an increasing role. Oh, I've seen that. Well, I remember we got our first television here. Little old bitty thing, black and white. All it had was snow. We thought everybody was freezing to death. You could almost tell the cowboys from the horses. Now 147 channels and nothing to watch. It's different technology. They say we're going to have more leisure time in the future. We're looking for that down to East Burnstaff. We'll quit in a minute. Oh, I tell you, all this change really affects everything. It affected our Tomcat. It really has. We lived out in the country a few years back. That old boy would leave home on Monday morning. Wouldn't get home to Friday night late. Had a long route. We moved into town. Now he's home by Wednesday. Lays around on the porch the rest of the week. He sold off half his practice to other cats. He's a lot like me now. Pretty much of a consultant. Change affects everything. It really does. But sometimes we work too hard. We have to have more leisure. We really do. I realized the other day I was working too hard, so a buddy of mine and I took off to Key West, Florida. Never been before. Went deep sea fishing. Now, I have caught fish out of the Rockcastle River all my life. But let me tell you, folks, if you've never been deep sea fishing, you ought to go. I saw that boat sitting there we were going on. I saw these big fish. I jumped out there and I was having my picture made with them. My buddy hollered, "You fool, get out of there. That's the bait." We got on a boat and went 40 miles out in the ocean. All you could see, water in every direction. And we're still going 100 miles an hour. I said, "Where are we going?" But I said, "We're looking for a place to fish." And we caught things, I'm telling you. I was getting one thing into the boat. All you could see was teeth and eyeballs. Somebody said, "What is it?" I said, "I don't know, but cut it loose. I'm a sportsman." And on the way back, they lost my suitcase. Airlines lost my suitcase. They found it in about 2 days. Had a 12-pound bass in it. Oh, I can remember years ago, though, working, how we worked hard here. We did, and we had to have a little leisure time then, too. I remember my cousin, Eldie, and I had been putting up hay for about a month, gotten into August, and we heard about the state fair. We'd always heard about it. We'd always wanted to go. We'd never had an opportunity. So we planned our trip. We were going to go. The night before, left my 49 Ford on the hillside so it could roll started, you know, next morning. We weren't going to drive it to Louisville now where the state fair was. We're going to try to get to East Bernstadt to catch a greyhound. Next morning, we rolled that thing over the hill, got her to hit, and we took off. My mama had fixed us a shoebox full of fried chicken to take with us. And that was some trip. Oh, we rode that greyhound all in Louisville. Got there, it was something else. First thing Eldine did was got him some cotton candy. We'd never seen anything like that. He took him about two bites. I said, "How is it?" He said, "It's good, but said it swallows quicker than anything I've ever had in my mouth." And we had a time that day. We got separated. I looked all over the place for him. Finally, I found him in a little tent over to the side. I looked in there. His broken shoes had got to hurting him, and he had taken them off. And had tied the strings together and had them strung around his neck. He had his thumbs kind of hooked in his overall galluses, just back there, kind of the back of the tent. I slipped in beside him. I said, "Eldine." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "There's a man up there throwing knives at a woman." I said, "Is he any good?" He said, "No." I said, "He's thrown 10 and missed her every time." But things are changing, but not the people. The people have not changed, just things around us. The people are the same as always. You love to have a good time. You love to eat. You love to tell stories. You have some industry now. And I'm so proud of that. I talk about you people all over the United States. When I was here, we didn't have any industry. Closest place to get work was Cincinnati, in that area. I remember one time I had an uncle. Went up there and got work. Never wrote. You know how they do. Another uncle and I took off to find him. I was in the eighth grade, had an experience I'll never forget. We got up there, we found him in Norwood, Ohio. Should be the capital of Kentucky. Got more Kentuckians per square foot than any place on earth. We didn't know where he lived, but he had his telephone number. I had never talked on telephone in my life. My uncle hadn't either. But I'd seen him at the movies down here at the Rita Theater. And I told him, I said, "I'll do the calling." Got in there, started dialing. I was doing something wrong. And the operator cut in. And she wanted to help us. And I told her what I wanted. She said, "What is your number?" And I'll never forget what I said. I said, "We ain't got an iPhone. That's how come we down here at this booth." And she started laughing. And I didn't know why. She said, "What is the number on the phone where you're calling?" Then I was embarrassed. And I told her the number. She put the call through, but I thought I still had to dial. And I started dialing that thing. It would open the line. I could hear my uncle on the other end say, "Hello? Hello?" I turned to my other uncle in the booth. I said, "There's somebody already on here." There was a train coming way down the track, and you could hear it. Ooh, way off in the distance. Uncle, we were trying to call, turned to his wife. He said, "Lord, have mercy." So there's something bad wrong, and they're trying to get in touch with us, so they can hear them just squalling. My first telephone call. Times have changed. Now I can use a telephone with hardly any help at all. But we've had a lot of progress around here, and I'm proud of it. But it's not going to our heads. We're not like a little town down in Tennessee that I know about. Yeah, they didn't have any industry. They finally got some. Everybody got jobs. They got them some color television sets and big cars. A little place called Snake Ridge. They got to feeling real good about it. They changed it from Snake Ridge to Reptile Heights. We're not that way around here. We don't let it go to our head. I'm not changing. No, sir. I got me a big fancy car now, but I got a gun rack in it. I'm not changing. My wife said, "Why do you want that gun rack?" I said, "You can't tell when you're going to get out and run up on a brand new road sign." I was at one of my buddies the other night. We got our limit. We got two slippery when wet and a falling rock zone. Oh, I love to hunt. So I grew up loving to hunt. We hunt and fish in Laurel County, Kentucky. Now, I don't like to shoot little animals. Let's say attack me or call me something. But I still love to hunt. So now I hunt mushrooms. But I hunt them with a high-powered rifle. I love to get up before daylight. Get out there in the woods. Get up in a tree. Build me a mushroom stand. And I'll lie up there for hours. And I'll see one sneaking up through the leaves. And I get him in the crosshairs of my scope. And I get mushroom fever. And I blow him right out of the ground. Come back into town with a bag of them over my car hood. I'm looking for that big one. I'm going to have stuffed. Put it over my fireplace there in the den. No, I'm not changing. My kids don't understand how I grew up here. No way. They can't understand that. They think money grows on trees. I told my son the other day, I said, "It may do it, but I don't have the trees." It's different. That's one of the big changes I've seen. Where I grew up, we never had any teenagers. I'd heard of them. I think they had some in town. Not out where we live. Got to be 8 or 9 years old. We're out in the field putting up hay. I've heard them say, "That kid's crawling. Let him do the floor." Well, kids are getting older now. They're getting now almost out of their teenage years, so we thought it was time to change the carpet in the family room. Just looking the other day, we didn't have any. It's pizza. 2 inches of pizza. A neighbor said they're the same way. They had extra cheese. Oh, but the times are different. We didn't have a lot of money back then. We traded a lot. If it wasn't for trading, we couldn't have made it. I remember one day I traded a fellow hickory axe handle for a Banny rooster. I had my rooster and I started off. He hollered, "Wait a minute, you got change." He had me a hammer handle and 3 clothespins. Times are different. My son, 17 years old, he can't understand that. We think that's him. We're not sure. Every now and then, this Volkswagen full of hair comes by and gets money. I was talking to him the other day about staying in school. School bothers him. He's 17, as I said. School really gets in the way of his schedule. He said he had more information now than he knew what to do with. I said, son, you got to stay in school. He said, why? I said, you can get you a good job. He said, why? I said, then you can work about 30 years. He said, why? I said, then you can retire and you don't have to work anymore. He said, I'm not working now. The kid has a point. Oh, but it's so good to come back here, to come back home and visit with the people here in town and down off the main road where I grew up. Yes, helpful people, good people. They'll do anything in the world for you. They really will. I was driving down toward East Bernstadt the other day, picked up an old boy. His car had run out of gas. He was walking along carrying about a 5-gallon gas can. I picked him up, and he was holding the gas can out the window. He was looking around at my car. He said, oh, this is a nice car. I said, well, thank you. Then I thought I'd have some fun. I said, see that big round emblem out there on the end of the hood? He said, yeah. I said, like if I want to run over somebody, that's what I aim at him. I said, see that fellow walking along the side of the road? I said, now if I want to get him, watch this, I'll just get him. And I took off like I was going to hit him. Got up right close and I swerved away and I heard something go, whop. And I walked around and said, well, said, you missed him, but I got him with this gas can. Helpful people. Kind of people around here. You go over in the morning to borrow the jumper cables. They come home with you and won't leave till they hear it running. That's what I like. That's what I like about Laurel County and coming back home. And the people down off the main road, helpful. I came through a store here the other day. I was walking out and I saw a fellow over there trying on reading glasses. He's trying on one pair right after another. I said, it's hard to pick them out sometimes, isn't it? He said, it sure is, especially if you're trying to get them for somebody else. I was walking down the street there the other day. I was back home for a little while. Heard two little fellas talking, two little boys. I said, what are y'all talking about? He said, I was telling my buddy here about what happened to my daddy and me last night. Said, we were out driving along. Said, the police stopped my daddy. Said, made him get out of the car. Said, made him walk a white line. Made him put his foot up on the bumper, lean his head back, and touch his nose. I said, how'd he do? He said, you know, he didn't do bad for as drunk as he was. Interesting people. And that's why I like to come back and visit. I came back about a month ago to visit my cousin L. Dean that still lives here, his wife Eula Faye, their oldest boy Jimmy Lee. Jimmy Lee's going to be a senior next year. They're so proud. This is the first year he's been a senior. He was a junior for so long. Got his buddy Bobby Earl. They play football. Jimmy Lee's a big, tall, bow-legged boy. Bobby Earl's kind of like me. He's kind of short and knock-kneed. When they run down that field side by side, they look like an egg beater. They take in all the games. They love to go to UK games. And they tailgate. So the Eldine has built them a motor home. Built it out of a milk truck. Got a refrigerated bed on it. On these hot days, man, they stay cool. Good people, good stories around here. The old boy at East Bernstadt had him a little dog. Good dogs, too. Most talented little dog ever heard of. They took it to see a talent scout. Put it down on the floor, turned on the record player. Little dog started singing and dancing, singing T for Two. Talent scout was excited. He said, you haven't seen anything yet. Turned the record player off. Little dog jumped over on a piano stool and played Beethoven's Fifth. They said, we're going to be rich. About that time, a door flew open. A big dog ran in, grabbed the little dog by the back of the neck and ran out. The little boy said, now that's the only problem we got. Said, that's his mama and she wants him to be a doctor. But you don't have to make up stories around here. There's enough truth right here in this county. Back a few years back, there may be people in this room that remember this. We had one of the latest snowfalls on record. It snowed on Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend. It snowed a big snow that weekend. There's no boy out from town here. Came into town that Saturday. Had a wagon, mules, and a jug or something. He had some business to do and a little socializing. He got his business done in the Saturday afternoon and most of his socializing and got kind of getting late in the evening. He'd finished off whatever he had with him in the jug and he was heading home out of country road. And he got down in some straw in his bed of wagon and went to sleep. But as the mules plodded along, it started to snow that evening. The mules pulled off under a big shade tree for protection. The next morning, he was not at home where he was supposed to be. People got up. They were worried about him. They didn't know what had happened to him. They started backtracking into London, and they found him. There that wagon was in the snow, covered with snow, about 6 inches of snow. The mules up under the tree. He was down in that bed covered. They ran up there. They brushed the snow off. They roused him up. He hadn't frozen to death, and he started looking around. But all this snow, they said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I left London last spring." The other morning, not too many months back, lady not too far from here, she heard a commotion on the back porch. It was before daylight. She looked out and there was a dog, big old dog, lovable old dog, dumb as a board. Couldn't find its food bowl half the time. It's in trouble with the neighbors a lot. She looked out there, and there was this dog, had a little rabbit in its mouth. Pretty little rabbit. Looked like it had a rough time. It was dead. She looked a little closer and she said, "Oh no." Said, "That's the neighbor's pet rabbit. He has killed the neighbor's pet rabbit. And they're going to kill us." She just panicked. She ran out there. She got the rabbit. She ran to the basement. She got her some warm soapy water. She scrubbed it up. She got her hair dryer and started blow drying it and brushing it. Made it look good. Slipped it back across the yard and put it back in its cage. About an hour later, she heard a commotion next door. She looked over. People had gathered up around the rabbit's cage. She said, "Something's going on." Said, "I've got to go over there and show a little curiosity." She started strolling across the yard and she met her neighbor. She said, "What's going on over here?" Her neighbor said, "We don't know." Said, "We don't know what's going on. We don't know how to explain it." Said, "Yesterday our rabbit died and we buried it." You can find humor all around you. We grew up with it here in Laurel County. And it's so much fun to look for it. I saw something right over at the Bluegrass Airport the other morning. Tickled me to death. I was in line to get on the plane. We weren't quite ready to load. There was a fellow in front of me. You could tell he hadn't traveled a whole lot. He talked a lot like I do. Kind of made me homesick. And he was talking to the lady who was going to put us on the plane. He said, "I was going to go down to Atlanta. Then I was going up to Detroit." I said, "I'm not going to be able to go to Detroit. I'm going to come right back from Atlanta." I said, "I want to get a refund on that part of my ticket." I said, "How do I do that?" She, knowing how he bought his ticket would make a difference, she said, How did you buy your ticket?" He looked at her like, "That's none of your business." She said, "No," said, "it's important." Said, "How did you buy your ticket?" He said, "Well, I sold a hog." It's all around us. You don't have to look too far to find it. The other day I was landing in a little commuter plane somewhere in Oklahoma in a windstorm. There's 4 or 5 of us on the plane. We were holding on to anything fine to hold on to. We hit on one wheel, bounced over on another. He dribbled her in. We were glad to get on the ground and be stopped. And we were getting off the plane. There was a woman in front of me. She looked to be about 90, 95. She was kind of hobbling along up the aisle. The captain was standing there at the door. She got right up to him. She said, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Are you the pilot?" He said, "Well, yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Well, tell me, did we land or were we shot down?" See, humor knows no age. We had a wedding the other day down home. It was one of those real nice ones, one where everybody agreed to it. About half the time, a whole bunch of them real mad, you know. But this was a nice one. It was a fancy wedding. Had a little fellow, oh, he's just a little bitty fellow, about 2 feet tall, going to bring the rings down the aisle on a little pillow. Made little tucks for him, little homemade tucks. Couldn't buy one that small. He brought the rings down the aisle on a pillow. Oh, it's so nice. All the way down the aisle, though, kind of under his breath, he's going, ar-ar-ar-ar. And after it was over, they said, "You did a fine job." They said, "What was that noise?" He said, "I was growling." They said, "Growling?" He said, "Yeah, I was the ring bearer." My next-door neighbor came home the other day. She got two little videos, kind of preschoolers. They were playing on the front porch. And she came home from the grocery. She said, "What have y'all been doing?" They said, "We've been playing postman." She said, "Well, that's nice." They said, "Yeah." She said, "We had real letters, and we put one in every mailbox on this block." She said, "Where did you get them?" She said, "We found them upstairs in your dresser drawer, tied with a little ribbon." Humor's all around us. Humor knows no age. Nursing home down home the other day. The little old lady hobbled out on the front porch. She's about 112. Nobody knows for sure. Still a sparkle in her eye, though. The little old man tottered out there beside her, and he sat down. She looked over at him. She said, "I bet I can guess how old you are." He said, "I bet you can't." She said, "I bet I can't." Said, "I bet you $20. He said, "Okay." She said, "You have to do something." He said, "Okay." She said, "Stand up." He stood up. She said, "Take your clothes off." He didn't want to do that. This was $20. He said, "Okay." He ripped them off. She said, "Turn around." She was giggling. He started turning around. She said, "92. He said, "How did you know that?" She said, "You told me yesterday." Yes, it was humor and an attitude that got us through down there off the main road when times were a little simpler and a little rougher. We weren't poor. We just didn't have any money. A lot of times that'll make you seem poor. But we had good food. Oh, yeah. That's what got all this started. I tell you what, my diet is not working. I think it would work better if I could convince myself that banana pudding is not a fruit. Yes, we had good food, friendship. We knew how to have fun. Now, when we were kids, there were not a lot of toys. We played all kinds of things, not many toys. We played things like kick the can. We went to Corbin to get a can. We play hide and seek. I didn't like that one. I would hide. Nobody would hunt me. Then every now and then we'd save up a quarter on Saturday afternoon, go to the Rita Theater right here in London, Kentucky, and see a Western and a jungle movie. Remember those? Sometimes it was Tarzan. Sometimes it was Jungle Jim. I love Jungle Jim. He'd jump in the river, swim 4 miles underwater. Combat boots on. With a knife in his mouth. Stab 4 alligators. Hop out on the bank, be dry as a bone. We also had something else down off the main road.
We had a value system then that told us the difference between right and wrong. We still have that, but today it gets a little fuzzy.
But then, we knew the difference. And if you had any doubt, you could ask my grandmother. She knew. I was a preteen. I'll never forget asking her one day. I was having a problem with something. I said, "Grandmother, what is the difference between right and wrong?" She said, "Honey, almost everything's wrong." I was afraid of that. They were stricter back then. But we're still good people around here. Fellow down to East Bernstadt the other day got a letter. He opened it up and there was some money. The letter said, "Years ago, I stole some money from you and it's been gnawing at me ever since. Said I'm sending some of it back. So if it gnaws again, I'll send some more." You don't find that every place. Of course, not everybody's that good. I was here at a gathering one day and I lost my billfold. I said, I've lost my billfold. I said, "It's got some cash in it." I said, "Got my credit cards. I want to get my credit cards back. Anybody find it? I'll give $50. Another boy hollered, "I'll give $75. But basically, we're good people here. It's the attitude that makes me love to come home. Makes me love to go back down off the main road, 15 miles. The main road was gravel, by the way. Go back down and visit. Yep, the attitude that got us through. I remember when I became a school teacher. I was teaching school. I got ready to go to school one morning. My wife came to me. I was a college professor, actually. That's hard to believe it. I was. She came to me. She said, "Remember now, we're moving today." She had the address written on a little card. Boy, that insulted me. I threw that down. I said, "You don't have to treat me this way. I'm a college professor." Well, I went on to school. Sure enough, came home that evening. I couldn't get in the house. Door was locked. I looked in the window. The furniture was gone. I said, "I can handle this. It's attitude, you see." I went out and I sat down on the curb. Just a minute, a little girl was coming down the street. I said, "Say, little girl." I said, "The people that lived here, do you know where they moved to?" She said, "Come on, Daddy. Mommy said you wouldn't remember." Attitude is what got us through. Not everybody, though, has the best attitude toward your work. Every now and then you run into people like that. We don't have many here in Laurel County. But I knew two old boys that farmed together years ago. Way back, I think they were in Jackson County. Way back up in the hills. They decided it was time to get themselves a new mule. They came down out of the hills. They came here to London to the stock sales. And they priced the mule. It was $125. The old boy just had 50. That's all they had. But I said, "My mule's worth $125. So that's what I got to have for him." So we're not going to be able to do any business. They turned to leave. Now, they hadn't been around much. They looked out of the road, and there sat a load of watermelons. One of the fellows turned to the fellow that had the mule. He said, "Well, what is that out there?" The fellow saw his opportunity. He said, "That's exactly what you need." He said, "Those are mule eggs." Said, "If you had one of those, you could go back and hatch out your own mule." They said, "Well, how much are they?" He said, $50. They were tickled to death. Got a great big nice one, put it in the back of the pickup truck on some straw to protect it, and they were going home, winding up that hillside road, one of them driving, the other one watching the egg. And they hit a bump, and the thing bounced out there on the side of the road, burst there. Scared up a long-eared rabbit. That rabbit just took over the hillside. All you could see was its ears above the sage grass. One of them hollered, "Stop the truck. The mule has hatched out." They jumped out. They ran it over the hill, across the creek, through a briar thicket, up through the woods, just killing themselves. Finally, one of them sat down on a log. He said, "Let it go." Said, "I didn't want to plow that fast anyway." Yes, every now and then you run into those that just don't want to plow that fast. But here at home, we have a good attitude. Every now and then someone will misjudge someone else. That happens. I saw it happen not too long ago. I was visiting with a friend of mine. We were going someplace. He was driving. I was riding with him. We were going down a big long hill. Just before we got to the bottom of the hill, there was a great big curve there at the bottom. We met a woman coming around that curve right on our side of the road, and she was traveling at a high rate of speed. Well, in order to miss her, my buddy whipped his car to the other side. She did too. He cut his car right back. She was right back over there with us. We were all tense for a while. Finally, they got their cars straightened up, and they didn't hit each other. But just as they got even, she rammed her head out the window at him and hollered, "Pig!" Law, that made him mad. He rammed his head out the window and looked back at her, hollered, "Sal!" Just as he turned his head back around, he hit a pig in the road and tore his car all to pieces. Pig is all she had time to say. And he misjudged her. Oh, thank you all so much. And it's been great to be back home.